I'm excited from Something Corporate, Jack's Mannequin, and now, of course, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. It's Andrew McMahon.
Welcome to the Chris Ruggiero Podcast.
I'm super excited about this episode. Growing up through high school and college playing in bands, influential bands were Something Corporate, Jack's Mannequin, so it was so cool to meet the man behind that. I was at the Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness show, and I was backstage actually interviewing the opening band, X Ambassadors, which will be on the next episode. And I happened to run into Andrew, so I asked him if we could chat for a few minutes and he could share some of his stories. And I was happy to get a few minutes to chat with him, so here it is.
Well, this is the first batch of dates that we've done in 2015. So yeah, we picked up, we picked up, the whole idea is that we were going out for the radio show out in Philadelphia. We're playing for the alternative station out there. So rather than just do one show, we figured, like, if we're gonna fly all the way across the country, yeah, let's at least pick up and do a few. So that's when we hooked up with X Ambassadors and Schematic and put together this little run of three shows. And yeah, so that winds up tomorrow, and we'll be finished with that. And then I go home for a minute, but I've been writing like crazy. I've been splitting time between home and Nashville, and then I'm gonna go out to El Paso for this writer's retreat with a bunch of songwriters. We get together for 4 or 5 days, and you write and record a song every day with a different group. So I'll do that, and then go out to the UK for 10 days or so, play 8 or 9 shows out there, and then we start picking up for the festival. So we got Coachella in April, Firefly, I think, in May, June, Summerfest. We start doing like one-off festivals and radio gigs.
Cool. And the writing stuff, is that with anything specific in mind? Are you planning another album already, or?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's funny. Like when I started writing this record, I took a year off, and I just holed up for a year and wrote, you know, and kind of chased the muse and just sort of built this project from the ground up. Now it's kind of in this moment where I don't want to lose the thread of like this of my songwriting, you know. So I get home for these stints, and it's like I could chill because I've been working, or I could stay sharp and keep writing, you know. And so I found myself just trying to find new collaborators and people that inspire me and people that write songs and produce tracks that get me excited and somehow Nashville sort of found its way into the fold. I think I'm going to spend a little bit of time out there, both writing for me and then hopefully for some other artists as well.
Yeah. Now, I just mentioned before we started this how, you know, I've seen you play, I don't know how many years ago, through the different bands that you've been in, and you've obviously been an inspiration for people coming up through for the past, yeah, how, 15 years?
Yeah, it's getting there.
Uh, 10 to 15 years, you know, how about for you, has there been any standout other performers or other people you've collaborated with that really inspired or even motivated you?
Yeah, I mean, gosh, I'm sure the list is probably pretty extensive. I mean, as far as guys that we've gone out, it's so funny because so much of my career, and you'll probably know this, even as big as a band as Jack's or Something Corporate got to be, we tended to headline more than we opened for bands. We were always like this funny mix of like, well, we weren't alternative enough to open up for like the big alternative act, but we weren't pop enough to open up for the big pop act, you know. So I think a lot of my sort of collaborators and inspirations in this business have been, you know, guys like Jim Wirt, who produced a handful of my early records, you know, guys like that on this last album. Working with Mike Viola was such a blast. Mike, you know, he plays for Ryan Adams, and he co-produced that record and the Jenny Lewis record this year. And I think Mike is a guy that has sort of shepherded me through the beginning of yet another project and really inspired me. Jim Scott, who engineered the last Jack's Mannequin record, who also, you know, did a bunch of the work on the Tom Petty solo stuff and Heartbreakers, did Last Dance with Mary Jane, and you know what I mean. So I think I find a lot of that in the studio, but of course we've made amazing friends over the years on tour, and you know, like one of my oldest friends out on the road, a guy named Matt Nathanson, who, like, you know, he's done shows opening for me, and I've done shows opening for him. Of course, Nate and Jack from originally Format and Steel Train and now Fun, you know, those guys, seeing what they accomplished coming from their early bands into this next chapter, and now Jack with Bleachers, and like that, I think that lit a particular fire under my ass to be like, yeah. Okay, like, you know, there's still this big kind of open world out there that there's still a little bit more for me to try and take a grab at, you know, and I think those guys really have inspired me over the years.
Yeah,
as well.
That was cool to see that, like, that crew that you just mentioned kind of, like, have their wave
back in that day.
Of when, you know, we know what happened, how it was, you know, the thing then, and
of
then
course.
Kind of see it die down.
Yep.
And then to see it come back again and, you know, like, real music.
Yeah.
You know, just taking over is awesome to see, and it's like, you know, I was happy to see, you know, shows like this come into here. It's like, it's pretty cool. How about somebody who you haven't worked with yet that you want to? Who would be the dream?
Oh, God, there are tons of people, obviously. I mean, you know, guys like Paul Epworth, who, you know, written for Adele and Lana Del Rey and you know, a million other amazing artists. Like, I'd be really excited to work with Paul. There's an artist right now, like Mickey Echo, who a lot of the music he's putting out, I'm just, like, super into, and I'd love to, you know, he's a Nashville guy, so I'd love to sneak out and pick his brain at some point. But yeah, I mean, it's so funny for me. I find the interesting thing about, like, you know, about collaborators is that you find them in the strangest places, and it's not always like, oh, well, my taste leads me to, like, my next collaboration. You know, it's like I like treating collaboration like a conversation. You get in a room with somebody who has a completely different point of view or comes from a place that you don't even know about, you know, and all of a sudden you have these other worlds collide. So sometimes I feel like using your tastes and your influences as the guide to who to collaborate with can, not to say be a mistake, but it isn't necessarily how I've approached it, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting thing, like, to keep things separate and or kind of keep things fresh in that way.
Well, it's like, even on this last record, like, I laugh, like, you know, Mike and I ended up in a room together because, you know, we had my manager was a mutual contact between the two of us, and he's like, I just think you're gonna like Mike, and I didn't know any of Mike's music before that, and he didn't know any of mine, you know. We ended up in a room hanging out and writing songs that were, you know, some of my favorite songs I've ever written. And after months and months, I was like, yo, can you make me, like, a mix of some of your, you know, like, your favorite songs of yours? And I fell in love with his catalog, you know. And it's almost like the reverse, where some of my collaborations have led to some of my favorite, you know, discovering some of my favorite music from the artists that I'm collaborating with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's cool. What, we have to wrap it up here. I know you guys have sound check, but top tour or performing story of your career? That's a hard, that's like a hard question, but, or one of the standout memories of, that you kind of created a cool life of, you know, doing, being able to play music.
I mean, you know, I know this will sound like, maybe it sounds a little cheap, but this last, you know, the last two tours were on this, like, this past summer, and particularly the fall, the headlining run that we went on, it was the first time that I've, you know, it's really the first time my wife's ever come on tour, but it's like, because we have a, you know, a new baby, and truthfully, just being on the road with my whole family there and getting to sort of watch my kid grow up, well, you know, against the backdrop of, like, this life that I've lived in a very different way in the years prior, but, like, but, you know, getting on stage every night and then, like, coming back to something that was more like home, you know, where I think a lot of my life on tour, and I could tell you a million stories from that maybe were more interesting, but, like, you know, coming from a place where it was always just this, like, super nomadic, like, very disparate existence, and turning it into something that felt grounded and taking that on the stage with me every night. And in my opinion, performing some of my best shows with the best lineup I've been on the road with, and doing songs, these brand new songs against the, you know, intertwined with some of the older material and seeing the threads that connect all of these things. You know, I think that fall run was for me a highlight of my career, you know, just because you realize after doing this for a lot of years, it's like you can either be, you can kind of cling to a past that was this thing or this memory or whatever, or you can really push into the present and try and build a new story and a new life every day. And it was like this moment where I was like, wow, like I'm doing this in a whole different way. And you think after like you said, 12, 13, 14, 15 years on tour, to all of a sudden have it be a brand new thing, it gave me a lot of hope for having a life like this, like that even if you're moving every day and it has the potential to get old, if you really choose to throw yourself into it, you can actually make it fresh every single every single day and every tour. So I'd say that was probably the highlight for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
You have anything else to say? You'll be out festivals and everything this year.
Come see us, and check out the Andrew McMahon and the Wilderness record. It's I think it's one of my best collections of songs, and I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, I listened to it there when it came out. There, I had it. I listened to it a few times back to back. Straight through.
Yeah,
and it's honestly one of the first records that I've listened to lately that didn't have like a standout song, especially.
Yeah.
But I could just appreciate, it felt like an album, instead of a bunch of pieces of songs together.
I appreciate
that. Was something that connected to me. I was like pretty excited to hear.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate it. Well, that's definitely what we were shooting for. So I'm glad I hit that note for you.
Cool.
Thanks, Chris.
There it is. Thank you guys so much for listening to my podcast, where I get to hear and share some stories of people who are doing really cool things and who are an inspiration to me, and hopefully an inspiration to you as well. You can always check out episodes on iTunes by searching for the Chris Ruggiero podcast. If you are on iTunes, make sure you leave a comment or a rating or a review. That'll help us out a lot. And of course, you can check it out on my website. That's chrisruggiero.com. And then you can click on podcast. So hopefully you guys enjoy the other stuff that I'm up to as well. And got to give a shout out. Go check out BetweenDreamsClothing.com. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Chris Ruggiero podcast.